I think the most important bit of overseas work, both because we are living in America and also because it was where it was most successful, was on this side of the Atlantic. And I put these maps out because, just to remind you, the area of English dominion. I guess none of them show all I want to show, but you can fill in the rest. Newfoundland, which is up to the north, there would be the northernmost English colony, and Suriname, which is down here in Guyana, would be the southernmost. Then, in this part of the world, Jamaica, and these islands here, the Windward Islands, including particularly Barbados, were British possessions. There were early friends up here in the Bahamas and in Bermuda. And in some of these islands, St. Kitts and Nevis, Montserrat had them also. Of course, much of this was French-owned or Spanish-owned. And I don't think the early Quakers tried to do much in those territories. But there were English-speaking colonies here. And the visiting Quakers from overseas made their attack on them. In fact, I rather think they made more headway in Barbados and Jamaica than they did on the mainland at first. But very soon, 55 or 56, they found themselves in on the mainland. The yellow, I suppose, in this map indicates places which were occupied, though I don't see any map that shows a vacancy in Pennsylvania. I mean, they're not quite early enough to show Pennsylvania unoccupied. But up and down this coast and the islands, these Quaker visitors came. And I've given you the geographical top and bottom. Newfoundland, Newfoundland, and Suriname, as they call it, British Guiana, down on the south. Now, of course, here they had the language. And they had English fellow British citizens. Because as part of the empire, these people all were just as much English citizens as the visitors were. But they didn't always find a warm welcome. Virginia was Episcopal. New York was in the hands of the Dutch. And they did penetrate there, Manhattan, and the end of Long Island. Pennsylvania and New Jersey were not yet settled. Massachusetts had two major colonies there. One was in Massachusetts Bay and the earlier one in Plymouth, that is on Cape Cod. In Connecticut there were English settlers and a different government. Well, their experiences can be known. We know the names of some of the people that came. Here's a friend of mine, Frederick Tolles over at Swarthmore, compiled a few years ago a list of all the known English tourists to America, Quaker tourists. Tourists is hardly the word, is it? Quaker visitors to America between 1656 and 1663. They come out to about 60, which is the same number that we mentioned a little while ago about the first messengers that came from the north and covered England. That's what they add up to. Some of them came more than once. Some of them met an early end. Several of the women, and by the way, the women that crossed the Atlantic were nearly as many as the men I'm counted, but of the 69 here, I should think that nearly half were women. I was just looking over these lists. It begins, Alice Ambrose, Anne Austin, Esther Biddle. There are three at the right top of the alphabet. And some of these women became famous. Well, this is an interesting chapter, particularly in New England, where from the start they met with opposition. The first two women that arrived there were clapped into jail the moment they got off the boat, kept incommunicado. The man that brought them was fined, the captain of the ship that brought them was fined and compelled to take them away to Barbados, from which they came. Great deal of the traffic to the mainland was by way of Barbados. The ships, Barbados is the furthest out here, you see. There was a good deal of three-way traffic, triangular traffic. England, Barbados, New England. And then round the other way or across. people who had settled in New England had, of course, themselves come. They were dissenters, and they had themselves come to secure freedom from persecution. And as happened since those days, the people that have escaped from persecution are the first to persecute others. So that they were as extreme as anybody in America, these religious refugees in New England, in the way they treated the Quakers. In fact, before the Quakers came to New England, there were two famous heretics that the New Englanders had dealt with. One was Roger Williams, who finally withdrew and settled a plantation down in Rhode Island, what we call Rhode Island. But neither, you see, outside the jurisdiction of the old, the Puritan type of settler. And another woman was Anne Hutchinson, who was also an object of very great dislike in Boston, where she lived, and she also was forced out. And if you go to the State House in Boston, on the grounds in front of the State House, you'll see a statue of Anne Hutchinson, the first persons that the settlers of Boston had maltreated. The Quakers used Barbados and Rhode Island again as a kind of bridgehead to get into these New England colonies. And the second set that came on a ship that came to the harbor the day the first two women were taken out. Well, you can see that it's not too... But later, they came overland. They couldn't get a sea captain who brought any Quaker in was by law to be fined £100. So that was a little difficult. But they could land in Rhode Island, and they could land in New York. They could wander up through Connecticut and then make their way into the Forbidden Territory. And it was very soon known that it was forbidden, and therefore they came with more zeal, as you would suppose. I believe them when they say that they thought that this law against the Quakers, which was very soon passed in New England long before there was one in England, that is several years before, was regarded by the Quakers as such a wicked thing that the people that passed it would incur God's displeasure unless they could be persuaded to repeal what the Quakers called their bloody laws. Bloody in the sense that they involved first whipping, and secondly cropping off an ear, and finally execution. They were to be, the law finally read that the first offense they'd be whipped out of the colony, passed on from constable to constable, till they got out of the wilderness among the Indians, or in Rhode Island among the other Quakers down there, beyond the jurisdiction of the Massachusetts authority. And then they came back, they would be have an ear cut off and be sent out again. And if they came back a third time, they would be executed. Well, these were the laws between 1658 and 1661. And as a matter of fact, four Quakers were executed on Boston Common. Now, don't go up there and look at the common now, facing the State House, because it wasn't then where it is now, but in another part of the Boston area, what they call the Neck was a muddy field and a training field and a gallows. And that's where the Quakers died, four of them.